an advertisement in the Financial Times as quoted in A Random Walk Down Wall Street by Burton Malkiel. The Clairvoyance Society of London will not meet Tuesday due to unforeseen circumstances. Mad Money Machine. Show 95. Middle of January. Hello, everybody. This is Paul Douglas Boyer. Welcome back to the Mad Money Machine. Are you tired and sick and tired of this stock market yet? Well, just pay no attention to it then. Go right on your merry way. But have fun here on the Mad Money Machine. We've got a lot to talk about. For example, the Apple tablet computer that was announced at Macworld, right? I've got a cool tool for you. And I answer some listener questions on the Mad Money Machine. Can you guess who the Mad Money Machine is proud to be sponsored by? If you said Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, you were exactly right. And why do you know that? Well, because you've been listening to this show for months and months now. And for months and months now, the Mad Money Machine has been proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. And you know what? Every time I go to the website, there is something new that's just fascinating to look at out there. I encourage you to go to IFA.com and look for the little new stickers that are on various links and things and read them. For example, there's one paper that's referenced in there that was published by a behavioral economist who asked people, where do you think the stock market's going next year? He makes a chart of their answers. And it also ranked the correlation between a previous year's stock market returns and this year's stock market returns over the past history of stock market returns. And guess what that correlation between one year and the next is? Well, you'll have to see for yourself. I'll have a direct link to that graphic in the show notes to this show. Let's play around the world's favorite game, Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Money Machine Show 95 is Tobin Smith. Tobin Smith is one of the talking heads that appears on the Fox Business Channel. And he runs a website called ChangeWave. Has a book out called Change Wave Investing. And I heard him talking today, January 17th, on the Fox Business Channel. And they asked him, like they ask all the other people sitting around the table, so what do you think this market is going to do? And he says that if you know a recession is coming, which he says he knows that it is, then you also know that stocks are going to go down 20 to 25%. So why just sit there and take the beating? Move out of stocks and into cash or bonds. Bonds can make you money while you wait. But like the Kirk Report says, I enjoy watching Tobin Smith on Fox Bulls and Bears every Saturday morning. He's often wrong, but I like his enthusiasm. Well, on a day when the Dow Jones is down 300 points and the S&P is down, 2.5 to 3%, Tobin Smith, maybe you're right. Well, congratulations, Tobin Smith. You're the guru on Mad Money Machine Show 95. Got another email from YoMama 2000. Says, Dear Paul, I believe you have been in a dark room preparing for your podcast for too long, so I will have to take you by the virtual shoulders and shake you up. Here's why. In show 94, you discussed the public Mad Money Machine portfolio smackdown in which 960 people picked stocks for a year. You were surprised that the results were the same as the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index. Don't you get it? Huh? You just proved the wisdom of crowds with your own market research cloaked as a portfolio smackdown. Congratulations, YoMama 2000. Yeah, I guess if I was so inclined, I could turn that into some sort of academic research paper, right? But I'm too lazy. Thanks for the email. Another email from Elaine says, Dear Paul, please read The Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Edward Griffin. First written in 1994, it's in its 16th printing, Everything you need to know about the Federal Reserve, the Fabian Society, and its cousin, the Committee on Foreign Affairs, you read that right, the Mandrake Mechanism, Rothschild Formula, World Watch Institute, etc. To be informed is to be forewarned. This is not an opinion book, but is written rather like a textbook, footnoted with supporting documentation, chapter preface and summary, an appendix, bibliography, and index. It is an informative and fascinating and even thrilling look at money, banking, and ultimate power. This should be required reading by every American. In ways, I am glad I read it to be better informed, and at the same time, I wish I hadn't. Well, you know, Elaine, I actually watched, I haven't read the book yet, and I think I will read the book, but I have watched a video out of video.google.com, and you can Google for Creature Jekyll Island, J-E-K-Y-L-L, and also I came across a talk that G. Edward Griffin gave shortly after his book was written. It's a one-hour-long MP3 file, and I'll point to that in the show notes for this show. I just listened to that last night while I was walking on the treadmill, and it is fascinating. But I would like to hear, here's what I need to hear. I need to hear someone's counter-argument, or I don't know if argument's the right word, but counter-story to what G. Edward Griffin is telling here. If anyone knows of the counter-story to the creature from Jekyll Island, in other words, why is the Federal Reserve good? Tell me why the Federal Reserve is a good thing for us all. Then I'd like to hear that, because I need to hear it. Thank you so much, Elaine, for writing. I appreciate everyone's feedback. Keep it coming. All right, we're talking about the dollar on the decline and inflation going up and the Federal Reserve just making more money, which makes all of our money we own in our bank accounts worth less, not worthless, hopefully, but worth less. So what do we do about it? Buy gold? What do we do with our money? One of the more innovative ideas I've heard, and I can't remember where I've heard it, but it's an innovative idea of an alternative currency. How would we come up with an alternative currency to U.S. dollars, Federal Reserve notes? One idea is, you know that exchange-traded fund, the Street Tracks Gold Shares, GLD is the ticker symbol, where every share is worth one-tenth of an ounce of gold, and just actually a little bit less than that to cover their expenses, I'm sure. But why not have them issue certificates of ownership? So for every share of that fund that you own, GLD, you own a tenth of an ounce of gold, right? And how much is a tenth of an ounce of gold? Today it's about, $88. So if you want to go buy a car for $44,000, then you need 500 shares of GLD. And you could take your 500 certificates or your 500 note over to the car dealership and trade that in for a car. And they'd get the ownership of the gold then. I thought that was kind of interesting. Of course, the idea is not that the car would continue to be priced in dollars, but it would be priced in two currencies. It would be $44,000 or 500 GLDs. And then the idea then is as gold price changes relative to the dollar, let's say gold goes up to $1,000 an ounce, then how much would that car be priced? That $44,000 car would be priced at 440 GLDs. Or most likely what would happen is the car would still be priced at 500 GLDs, but it would be priced at something like, what, $50,000. Back to the gold standard. Let's pull something out of the tool crib. Last week, I gave you an expensive tool, the Amazon Kindle ebook reader. And if you haven't looked at that, I definitely recommend you go up to the show notes of the last week's show, click on the icon, and go take a look at the ebook reader. This week's tool is also costly, but not nearly so. It's only about $20. It's a software program that I use every single time I do a show. It's Netera Bonsai. It's an outliner program for Windows. And I understand that the Macintosh has other outliner programs, but they're not available for Windows and vice versa. Natera Bonsai, the outlining program. I use it for every single show. Now, here's what it does. It allows you to keep a list of items, and you can make one item the child of another item, and so on and so on. So you can have nested levels of these children, of these items within this outline. And the beauty of it is you can collapse parent levels then to show only the highest level, or you can expand it to reveal all the levels beneath that. You can make notes, and you can do all kinds of things that are very advanced within this outlining package. But for me, just the ability to move items around very easily, move the parent item around, and all the child items follow that parent item. I would love to have something like this in an online program. You know how Google Documents lets you do word processing online? Well, it just doesn't have the capability to manage outlines in this manner. I've seen some attempts on the web for people to create these online outliners. Many of them only go one level deep. I need multiple levels deep. If you find an online outliner, let me know. In the meantime, I have used Natera Bonsai for 95 shows now. Yes, sir, every single show I've done, I have the outline of the show recorded in this outliner tool, and I love it. Now, there's also a program available for the Trio, so you can synchronize your desktop outline with your mobile phone. And I'll have a link to where you can find out more about Natera Bonsai in the show notes to show 95. That's the tool in the crib this week. Natera Bonsai, happy outlining. And unlike most of the tools I've given you so far, this one does cost you money. Got a call from Jim, and within his call, I have embedded some alarms in case you're driving.
Hi, Paul. This is Jim calling. The ISA 100 seems to have done like the worst last year in terms of all the ISA portfolios, or didn't do as well as in general. And I know that we're not supposed to be doing market timing, but it just seems like every year where the ISA 100 didn't do well in the past 80 years, within the next year or two, it's pulling in incredible numbers. Isn't this probably one of the better times to actually put more money into that particular portfolio, because history has shown that it will just end up doing better in the near term and also in the long term? Thank you so much. Love the show. Bye-bye.
Hey, Jim, appreciate the call. Is now a good time to invest in Index Folio 100? Oh, right, let's go back to basics here. First of all, you need to take the risk capacity survey to see which portfolio you have the risk capacity to invest in, right? When you discover which portfolio you're ready to invest in, then the time that you have the money is the time that you should invest that money. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. We cannot predict the direction of the market. Has the market bottomed today? Maybe. Is it going to go down some more? Maybe. Is it going to start going up from now? Maybe. Who knows? No one knows what direction the market is going to take. Now, the fact that the market has been up some several percentages points higher than it has now, it might make you feel like you're getting your stocks at a discount. And if that helps you, then that's great. But I have also known times where buying at the top has been the right decision, because it just keeps going up from there too. Market timing does not work. We can get lucky, but we can't predict the future. So when do you invest in your portfolio? When you have the money. Now, Jim, you asked another question in a call as well, and that was, is there a way to achieve an IFA portfolio beyond the 100, say like a 120 or a 150 or a 200? And yes, there would be a way to do that. You can extrapolate the differences between portfolios 90, 95, and 100. In other words, keep adding to the small value tilt and perhaps adding some more international into the mix. But why would you want to do that? Most people, in fact, I'd say 99.99% of the people cannot tolerate a portfolio with more risk than portfolio 100. Yeah, when things are going good, portfolio 100 looks really good. But portfolio 100, mind you, is itself very risky. Do you know what the downside potential on the portfolio 100 is? Well, if you don't, you need to go out to IFA.com and take a look at all the charts out there and study them. For example, you could go out to the main page at IFA.com. Just type IFA.com into your browser, and at their homepage, scroll all the way down to the bottom where you have their big chart, the risk reward optimization chart. And in the chart selection menu, let's see, click on item number 10, distribution of rolling period returns, and then click on portfolio 100 and click on the annualized returns of 1 year. And you can see there that within three standard deviations of the average, there is the chance, and it has happened, that portfolio 100 has gone down in a year 35%. If you're in $1 million portfolio, can you handle a $350,000 decline in your net worth, taking it all the way down from $1 million to $650,000? How did you feel about that? And that's portfolio 100. If you got up to a 120 or a 150 or a 200, just imagine the downside that you would be exposed to. I don't think a whole lot of people at all have the risk capacity to take on portfolio 100 or above. I know I used to think I did, but I don't anymore. Remember how I told you about the dynamically adjusted risk capacity? I did get scared in the talks about recession. And right, I'm trying to predict the market. I'm trying to say that the market's going to go down. And I got lucky. But the bigger fact of it is, the more accurate telling of it is, I can't take the risk of it going down. Whether it goes down or not, I cannot accept that much risk in my portfolio. So I have notched it back greatly. I think I'm all the way back down to probably a 50 or 60 at this point. But I don't mind being in cash. Our money market return is about 4.5% to 5%. Warren Buffett said they don't ring a bell when the market bottoms, and they don't ring a bell at the top either. I appreciate the call. Anybody else has a question, call the Mad Money Machine voicemail line at 206-734-4763. Apple disappoints. Yes, I listened in to the Macworld conference with Steve Jobs on Tuesday. Actually didn't listen in. I was reading along as the live bloggers were typing what he was saying. And while all the things that he had mentioned during the show were important and interesting and pretty darn cool, none of them blew the doors off like the Apple iPhone that had people crying last year. And thus, one of my 10 predictions hasn't come true yet, and that is the Apple tablet. Now, admittedly, this MacBook Air, this thinnest notebook that anyone has invented so far, you could almost call it no, you couldn't call it a tablet. Now, a true tablet doesn't have a keyboard, and it allows you to type on the screen. It's a touchscreen display, right? Whether it's a pen or your finger, like you'd use on an iPhone, you can just touch the screen to activate it. And I'd really love to have a kind of a tablet like that just to sit on the couch and browse the internet. But then again, yeah, every once in a while you need to type something, don't you? And that's the problem with a tablet, I guess. So run out and buy the MacBook Air for only $1,800 and make that Apple stock keep going up. I promised to talk about some of the games that we've been playing. I've talked about Rock Band, and we finally unlocked some of the good songs. The Who, Don't Get Fooled Again, and Boston, Long Time, and I think there are some more to come. You can customize your rocker. Mine kind of looks like me, a little thinner. And the better you are, the more songs you play, the more stars you get, the more accessories you can buy for your rocker, your on-screen persona. You can buy wristbands and glasses and different hairdos and shirts and things. And the other game that I've been playing is one I heard about from Paul Theriot on Windows Weekly. He said this may be the best video game ever made, and it's bundled in it's what they call an orange box now, but it's a game that's been around for a while, Half-Life 2. And if you're familiar with the first-person shooter games, then you're probably familiar with Half-Life 2. I hadn't played Half-Life 2. I did play Half-Life on the PC a long time ago, and for some reason, I just didn't understand it. Didn't get very far. I got stuck, I think, at the very beginning. Finally, by getting this orange box and playing Half-Life 2 on the Xbox 360, I think I'm understanding it now. It is very fun, although it seems you're in the game, it seems very lonely. It's a very lonely place out there. It's you and all the bad guys. And occasionally you'll run into one of your teammates, so to speak, one of the good guy people. They'll give you further instructions, and then they send you on your way. Well, you remember the suggestions that I got from Keith on topics that I should talk about on this show. One of his topics was walking in their shoes. Is there any long-term case studies of individual investors that use IFA? And I talked to Mark Hebner at IFA about this one this week, just a couple of days ago. And in fact, there is a very good case study, and it is available on their website. And I'm going to try to point you to this. If you go to ifa.com, bring up their website, and along the left-hand side of the website where you see the quick links and the 20 portfolios, go down a little bit. You see risk capacity survey. Go down a little bit. You see site links, 1 through 16 numbered links there. Number 16 is a sample IFA client reports. If you click on that then, and I'll have a direct link to this in the show notes for this show, what you get there is a sample report of an actual client whose name has been changed to protect the innocent. And what it lets you do is you can actually log in and review the reports that IFA gives a client online. You can use the username Joe and the password sample1b. Now, I recommend you use Internet Explorer to read these reports, because the reports work best in Internet Explorer. They were developed by somebody other than IFA, and apparently they didn't test how well it works in Firefox or not. So when you log in with that sample account, it'll bring you to a page where if you click on the My Portfolio tab, you will see a summary of the accounts held by that individual. Click on the account number. You can see the account number 123456. Their account type is an individual account, and it is Portfolio 70. So this person had invested in Portfolio 70. When you click on that account link, then you'll come to a page that has a number of tabs, including summary, holdings, unrealized gains and losses, realized gains and losses, allocations, performance transactions, and income report. But what's the bottom line of looking at all of this? Here is the really amazing thing about this client's return. And I've got to tell you, this is absolutely amazing. I doubt that you'll find anything like this anywhere in the investment world. And here's what it is. Back several years ago, when this client invested their $3 million with IFA, IFA put them in a Portfolio 70. And you can go, of course, to the website and look and see exactly what the components of Portfolio 70 are. And you can also go and look at the benchmarked returns for Portfolio 70. And if you compare the returns for the benchmark of Portfolio 70 versus the returns of this actual client who invested in a Portfolio 70, it shouldn't be any surprise, but it is it's fantastic to note that their client got exactly the returns of Portfolio 70. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that just absolutely amazing? Particularly when you see how well Portfolio 70 had done for the client over those years. I encourage you to dig down into those client reports and see what you can see there. See all kinds of good information in the transactions history, for example. The client pulled out some money from time to time, And so this client has an excellent understanding of exactly how well their portfolio performed. Try finding anything like this anywhere else. I don't think you'll find it.
Hi, my name's Dennis, and I've been listening for a few months now. I'm new to the world of investing, and I'm trying to take your advice. My question is, having just opened a Roth IRA with Vanguard, and having only about $4,000 to start with, how should I go about allocating this money to index funds? I think I can only pick one or two, considering the common $3,000 minimum. Also, in the coming years, when I have more money to invest, how should I go about allocating that? I took the risk assessment survey and found the IFA 85 portfolio to be a good plan for my situation. Thanks for your help, and thanks for the show.
Hey, Dennis. Thanks for the call, and congratulations, first of all, on getting started in investing, particularly at a young age. You're going to be ahead of 95% of everybody else out there by the time you really need to live off your investments. So congratulations on that. You're taking the first step. What should you invest in? Well, here's something that I'd recommend that you do. Try to get a picture of where you want your investments to be 20, 30 years from now, and then start today incrementally getting toward that. And here's an example. You mentioned you have taken the risk capacity survey and you're at a portfolio 85. All right. Well, that includes mostly stocks, a tiny little bit of bonds, spread around the different asset classes. Since you probably don't have enough money to actually let IFA handle your investments, what you're going to need to do is start out with Vanguard funds that mimic the IFA investments. And you've probably seen some portfolios out at MadMoneyMachine.com that try to mimic the IFA funds. But as you get money, one of the things that you can do is start putting it into things like the Vanguard Total U.S. Stock Market Fund and the Vanguard Total International Stock Market Fund, and try to keep those in somewhat of a balance until you get enough money then to start putting money into more specialized funds like the Vanguard Emerging Markets Fund and the Vanguard Small Cap Stock Funds. It may take you several years of contributing to a Roth IRA to get enough money to be able to balance in these several funds. You'll probably end up with about 9 or 10 different funds in the portfolio. I wouldn't worry about bonds just yet. I think your checking account will handle the percentage that you need invested in fixed income. Bottom line is pick a portfolio that you want to get to in 10 or 20, 30 years from now and start incrementally adding to stocks in an even fashion across those several asset classes. You know, the idea is to rebalance your portfolio by adding new money to the portfolio. Now, here's something that most people won't do when they're asked a question like this, and that is redirect you to a place where you can get even more information. I recommend that you go out to diehards.org/forum. It's the Vanguard forum for people interested in investing in Vanguard funds. And read other posts out there. There's always some post, some new person asking about how they should invest or how does their portfolio look. Read several posts. If your post hasn't been answered by the time you've read 100 posts or so, go ahead and post a question, and within a matter of an hour or two, it will be answered by one of the knowledgeable people out there. This way, you don't have to wait between Mad Money Machine shows to get your answer. I do appreciate the question, though, and best of luck to you. Congratulations, you're on a great path. Well, once again, as I'm doing this show, I'm looking over here to my right, and I've got the Fox Business Channel on and muted, and they're talking about something where the politicians want to put together something like an economic stimulus package. Oh, man. Look, on this show, how long have we talked about passive investing beating active investing? Well over a year, probably going on almost into 2 years now. I've been talking about the virtues of passive investing over active investing and why passive investing is so much better than active investing. Well, guess what? That is true not only for the stock and bond market of investing, but it's also true for government. Active government is worse than passive government. We don't need a stimulus package. Let the free markets do the work, please. Well, I just now checked at the the Yahoo Historical Quotes site. And guess what? The historical returns are in. The dividends for December are in. And I can now give you a rundown. This is kind of raw, but I can give you a rundown of how the lazy portfolios did in 2007. And it looks like the winner of all of them is the Ted Aronson Lazy Portfolio, up 13.58% for the year. Now, why did his portfolio do better than everybody else's? He is 25% in emerging markets. Now, I'm measuring the equity-only portion of these guys' portfolio, just to kind of keep things on an even keel, because if I compared a bond portfolio against the stock portfolio, obviously the stock portfolio is going to win more times than the bond portfolio. And I caution you here that I'm not measuring risk in these results. That's something I hope to do later this year. So if I take out the bonds that Ted Aronson had invested in, just the stock portion, he's got 25% in emerging markets, 19% in a Vanguard 500 index, 19% in Pacific, 13% in extended market. Now, which portfolio did the worst? Looks like the Bill Schulte's Coffeehouse portfolio, ETFs, is down 3.78% for the year. Well, it's because he had 17% in REITs in that portfolio, and REITs were down. That REIT, the IYR, was down almost 20% for the year. And the Russell 2000, he has 17% in that, and that was down 11% for the year. The Index Folio 100 was up 2.48% for the year. I missed Ben Stein's retirement portfolio. He had two funds that he said at one time would be a great investment. He said, put half your money in the Dow Jones Wilshire REITs and half your money in the iShares Dow Select Dividend. That entire portfolio is down 12.57%. Not a very good retirement plan, Ben Stein. By the way, Ben Stein's got a new book out, something about supercharging your portfolio or something like that. You can find it at Amazon. The Mad Money Machine ETF portfolio, the do-it-yourself portfolio, I guess I called it, was up 2.39% for the year. The REITs going down 16% were balanced out by the emerging markets going up 37%. I'll try to put all this together in some sort of table and show it to you out on the website madmoneymachine.com. And by the way, the results for 2007 of these lazy portfolios have them all going down somewhere between 4 and 7%. So if your portfolio is going down, don't feel like you're alone. This is Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes being clairvoyant to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next week. In the meantime, visit our sponsor, Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, matching people with portfolios. Some music on this program provided by music.podshow.com. Please give me feedback. Email it to feedback@madmoneymachine.com or call the voicemail line at 206-734-4763 or leave a comment in the show notes. madmoneymachine.com. Go visit the website and read the show notes for this show. I thank you so much. I'll see you next week. Good luck in the markets.